Well, I was trying to come up with the perfect verb to describe January and February as months. Stink. They stink. That's all I could come up with. They're dark and they're cold and bills are due and spring is like a little tiny dot on a distant horizon. And for people who love the movies, these deep winter months lay equidistant between autumn's flood of Oscar hopefuls and summer's popcorn crowd pleasers. So what are you left with? You're left with Hollywood studios dumping the budget-busting refuse of failed projects, unworkable scripts, and desperate attempts to capitalize on celebrities of the moment. This is where you see your Eva Longoria vehicles. So, amid the muddle of the January releases, is there anything that it is worth laying down the cash and 2 hours of your life that you'll never get back to see? We are blessed to be able to turn to the great Daniel Holloway, movie critic for Metro Newspapers, for guidance during these lean times. And look at this. Daniel is in the studio. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, thanks for coming in here. We're excited to
have
you.
Yeah, last time we saw you, we were seeing films at Sundance. Motion pictures.
And I understand that having seen the films in Sundance, you were not allowed to see the film of Jessica Alba, the great Jessica Alba, one of the great thespians. Her latest oeuvre is called The Eye, and as I understand it, you weren't allowed to see it. What is the story there?
This seems to be a recurring trend with Jessica Alba films, that they want me to pay my $11 to go see them, and it's been a while since I have.
Oh, no critic screenings?
No critic screenings for this film.
That's typically not such a good sign.
No, it's not. Usually a sign that it's not a film that should be seen by critics or other people.
I understand.
What does she do in this movie?
I think she gets eye surgery. I think she has like eye. Is this correct? Because I think my belief is that she has the eyes of someone else put into her head, and then she can see things like she sees dead people.
Oh, you know what? I saw a movie poster on the subway. There's a hand coming out of an eye socket.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think she has a small person living in her eyeball.
That's gonna be fantastic. All I know about her is she is knocked up with some guy named Cash's baby.
Yeah, so he was the assistant director on the Fantastic Four. And, you know, Jessica Alba, you know, kind of has a lot of pull when it comes to being, you know, a nice-looking lady. And you want to just, like, sit her down and explain to her, sweetie, you don't date the assistant director. You date the director.
Nah, she's a below-the-line kind of girl. Yeah. I give her credit for that. Now, let's get into movies that you might actually have seen. There is the sensation that is Hannah Montana. I don't have young children yet. So I don't know much about Hannah Montana except that Miley Cyrus is the daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus, the achy breaky heart guy, and it's the biggest thing in the world. It's the most important thing that there is. Apparently there is now a Hannah Montana movie called Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus Best of Both Worlds Concert Tour. Is this correct?
This is correct, and it's in Disney 3D. I'm making quote marks with my fingers.
Oh, Disney
3D. Yeah, it's like it's different than other 3D.
Of course.
The best I can tell, Miley Cyrus is a young woman who is stricken with multiple personality disorder.
Oh, good.
And she believes herself to be herself and also a character named Hannah Montana. And the only way I can tell the difference between the two of them is that one of them wears a blonde wig and the other one is a brunette. And the way that this is basically like a kind of typical concert film, though, except that she comes out at the beginning of the show and she sings some songs as Hannah Montana and she wears a blonde wig and usually something pink. And then she goes backstage and then these guys named the Jonas Brothers come out and play a couple songs. And they're basically like Hanson without the ability to harmonize.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a little rough. Then she comes back as Miley Cyrus and she sings some more songs and she has brown hair.
So what if you have a little brother or cousin who's dying to see this? Is this painful to sit through if you're just trying to be great Aunt Allison and take somebody to the movies? Or
the music is it's harmless. I mean, the film is harmless. The music is harmless. It's not the most annoying stuff that you've ever heard. It's not.
We have samples.
Could we listen to some?
Well, first I wanted to, we have a Hannah Montana song. We'll play you a Miley Cyrus song later. This is a Hannah Montana song. Sort of Go-Go's writ younger. Will you give me that?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so that is a Hannah Montana song. Now we have a Miley Cyrus song. Let's give this a listen to see how different it is.
Okay, so Miley rocks a little harder.
Miley rocks a little Black Sabbath.
I will say this for Miley. She's 15, so you have to be careful how you phrase this. The Miley persona seems to be the more provocative on stage.
I see. Yes.
Sort of the Chris Gaines to Garth Brooks.
Excellent analogy. Way to pull Chris Gaines out of your pocket there. She's a little bit darker, a little bit edgier, I guess.
All right, so 12-year-old folks who love Hannah Montana, this is worth the $11 or the $7 or whatever it costs to get a kid into a movie.
Yeah, if you really need to score points with your kid this week, take them to see this.
Okay, so now if you're a tween, if your 13-year-old child is more on the sophisticated end, the next movie we want to talk about might be The Ticket. Actually, not really. Unless your 11-year-old has a thing for Lebanese movies about five women who work in a beauty salon, in which case your kid impresses your worldly adult friends, spends a lot of time alone after school. This movie is called Caramel. Tell us about it.
It's directed by Nadine Labaki, who received a residency at Cannes to do this film. Film premiered at Cannes last year. And it's basically like, you know, if a beauty shop genre exists, this exists within that genre. It's five women all at different stages in their life, all dealing with sort of different issues that you're probably pretty familiar with if you've ever watched Sex and the City or seen any film like Beauty Shop or like Steel Magnolias. But they're dealing with it while living in Beirut, which adds a little bit of a different twist to it. You see one woman who is with her boyfriend and they're getting hassled by the police because they're in their car alone late at night. The same woman is later concerned because she's getting married to that boy and she's not a virgin. And this could be potentially disastrous, whereas it wouldn't be in an American film.
So for an American audience, you have both the drama and the emotion of that sort of ensemble woman's cast, plus some insight into the difference between living in Beirut and living in Manhattan.
Yeah, and I think it strikes a pretty good balance between the two. The things they deal with while being somewhat specific to living in Beirut are also pretty universal.
So worth seeing.
Worth seeing, definitely.
Okay. Well,
all right, a jump from TV to the movies quickly. You teased it.
You got to get to this. There is something called Over Her Dead Body.
Something.
In the script here, which I did not write, but I'm glad to at least paraphrase, it has both romantic and comedy in quotes. And, in fact, starring. It's a quote romantic, quote comedy, quote starring Eva Longoria as a bride who dies in a terrible car accident on her wedding day and then a year later decides to haunt the woman her bereaved fiancé, played by Paul Rudd, finally falls in love with. Can we hear a clip real quick?
Why did she come here? I mean, what does she want to tell me?
She says that she can tell that you're torn between being faithful to her memory and the feelings that you have for me.
The hell I did? Ow! Oh! Oh, what happened? Wait, let's nip this down. Okay. I like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's an anchorman. Paul Rudd is a funny, funny guy. How did Paul Rudd end up in a Eva Longoria vehicle?
As my wife said, he probably needed to put a wing onto his house.
Brother's got to make a buck. That's how.
You just want to jump into this film and rescue him all the way throughout. It's absolutely terrible. It's really rough. Eva Longoria's in like self-parody mode.
Eva Longoria, just very briefly, we got to go because we're running out of time. But people like Eva Longoria, who become sensational on the cover of every magazine, you always wonder, will that person, in this case, Eva Longoria, survive in the movies? Eva Longoria, enduring quality, or she's done when her TV show goes off the air?
When her TV show goes off the air, she goes to becoming a full-time San Antonio Spurs fan.
There are worse ways to spend your life. That's all I have to say.
Daniel Holloway is the movie critic for Metro Daily Papers, a friend of the BPP, sometimes guest host. Hey, thanks for coming in, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
Good to
have
see you.
Have a great
as
weekend.
Always.
Good thanks. To see you.